ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। The first six chapters focus on action and the middle six chapters focus on attitude. The last six talks about the awareness, the knowledge. Now, bhakti, which is emphasized in this middle six, is the essence of excellence. Now, to attain success, one can attain through domination, one can attain through working, propitiating ego. But to attain excellence, it is not through pursuing lust, but it is functioning in the world out of love, bhakti, devotion. Alone a person can achieve excellence. A simple thing like when you identify with your customer, you put yourself in his or her shoes. Then ask the question, would you be paying X amount of money that you are charging if you were in their position for this product? And if you do, what kind of product would you expect? The moment you put yourself in their shoes out of love, out of bhakti, out of identification, you would focus on the product delivery, which should be according to the customer's expectation. So the secret of excellence is bhakti, devotion, a change in the attitude, a change in the perception. And that is brought about here by Sri Krishna giving the knowledge of the total, in which the part is a part of it. And you recognize that you are a part. And it's a very, very insignificant part. And though insignificant part, when you identify with the real essence within, you completely have a different perception. All this while, one has the perception that we are a part of this world. And once we gain this knowledge that Sri Krishna is giving, the whole perception changes to the dimension that the whole world is in me, rather than my individual being born and brought up in this world. I understand that the whole world is actually in me. So this is what he talks about in the portion from 7th chapter till 12th chapter. And in the 7th chapter itself, he has set the tone for all these chapters. Today we'll be seeing the summary of the 11th chapter, which is entitled as the Vishwarupa Darshana Yoga, Yoga of the Vision of the Cosmic Form. Now, the tone for all these chapters from 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 is set in the 7th chapter itself. The Jnana Vijnana Yoga, the Yoga of Knowledge and Wisdom. There he talked about the higher aspect and the lower aspect. The higher aspect is the pure consciousness, and the lower aspect he talked about the eight aspects: Bhumi, Apa, Anala, Kam, Vayu, Mano, Buddhi, Ahankar. So the eight aspects are the lower ones, and the pure consciousness the higher. And the higher and the lower combining together brings about this gross universe. And then he talked about how the pure consciousness pervades this entire universe and remains unmanifest. And then he said, I am there as a substratum. From me, the world emerges, exists, and dissolves. And I pervade this world in an unmanifest form. The world is in me, I am not in them. Then the same concept he talks in the 9th chapter. In between, in the 8th chapter, he says, as you think, so shall you become. So by constantly focusing on Brahman, you become Brahman. Otherwise, you focus on the world, you become the world, meaning worldly. And then in the ninth chapter, again, he continues from where he left in the seventh. So he says, the world is in me, I am not in them. And then he says, world is also not in me. Behold my supreme yoga. And then the tenth chapter is basically seeing that one pure consciousness manifested in this entire world. So the tenth chapter is one in all. The 11th chapter is all in one. So as you evolve spiritually, the whole perception changes with this knowledge, with this awareness. Without awareness, we are focusing on what we lack. So we complain, we crave, we court more. The moment we become aware of everything that is being provided to us, we become grateful, thankful, forgiving. The more the knowledge goes in, the more bhakti intensifies, the more love starts permeating through us. Automatically, wanting to dominate and all that dissolves. You just let go and then start free flowing. That is the beauty that he talks in this whole portion from 7 to 12. So you got to see it from that angle. From Arjuna in this first chapter being the prince who's commanding his charioteer, take my chariot and place it in between both the armies. From there to what Arjuna has come to now, this is called education. Arjuna was already skillful, experienced, intelligent, everything he had. But this process of true education he was missing. But while going through the knowledge with Sri Krishna, when he is able to see that insignificance of the individual vis-a-vis the gigantic picture of the Brahman, instantly the devotion comes. Like Einstein says, what is my knowledge compared to my ignorance? I may know more compared to the other beings, but what I know is completely insignificant compared to the many things that I don't know. So the moment a person understands this, the humility comes, devotion comes, gratitude comes, forgiveness comes. All these are the traits of evolution. It's not your ability to give lecture or communicate a certain point. This is not knowledge. Knowledge is all these qualities, all these traits. So here in this chapter, the chapter has about 55 shlokas, which is split into six topics by Swamiji. The very first topic is Arjuna requests. And Sri Krishna shows his cosmic form. Arjuna is requesting Sri Krishna to show the cosmic form. And Sri Krishna is showing the cosmic form. Now, this is from verse 1 to 12, the first topic. Now, the way he requests shows the cultural change in Arjuna. This is how a true disciple would be. A Shishya would be a person who is maintaining that constant awareness of the insignificance of this individuality and the magnitude of the soul, the Supreme Brahman. So he says in the very first shloka, Mat anugrahaya paramam gukhya madhyatma sangita. So, by that speech of the supreme secret known as the Adhyatma, which you have spoken out of compassion for me. See, where is this commanding Arjuna now? The Arjuna who was commanding in the first chapter, take my chariot and place it in between both the armies. I would like to see all of them come to fight. from that to here, he says, you have spoken that knowledge. Where did he speak? Seventh chapter onwards, he's been talking. You have spoken out of compassion to me. Otherwise, what is the necessity for you to talk to me? And also, it's a very clear indication that this individual Arjuna, however great his skill and experience and victories and achievements could be, in comparison to the total, is extremely insignificant, and as a finite entity can never know the infinite unless the infinite comes down out of compassion. So you got to let the Supreme enter you, rather than thinking that I will enter Supreme. The moment you have this ego that I will conquer, I will enter, it's not possible. In spiritual dimension, it's not possible. It is in the worldly acquisitions that you can go and dominate and acquire. But if you really want to enjoy, you've got to let go. Please understand this. See, a simple thing like in the world, generally, especially in the Indian context, people enjoy their grandchildren more than their own children. Because with grandchildren, they become children. And therefore, they enjoy. With their children, they become extremely responsible, as if they are responsible to make sure that they become Einstein or Robert, Roger Federer, etc. So you think they have come through you. You have the responsibility you have to do. The moment that dominating, that whole thing comes, you don't enjoy. The real joy comes when you let go and you also become a child. When you grow, become old, you start realizing all this probably. So the whole thing here is mad anugrahaya paramam guhya madhyatma sangitam. That word you remember, anugraha. Ishvara anugraha is important, is what Arjuna is realizing. No doubt, individual effort is important. But along with the individual effort, you should understand that you need Ishvara's grace, anugraha. And Ishvara's grace is universal. It is not preferential. It is not that Ishvara chooses few people and gives them the grace. But by your own humility, you draw the grace of the Lord. Now, it is not as if you have to put in less effort once you have Ishvara's grace. You have to put in the same amount of effort which you would have put in before. But Ishvara's grace removes all the stress and strain while putting in that effort. That's all it is. Like I mentioned this to you once in the class. People who go to Sabarimala, they are not wearing chappal and they are carrying something on their head. A 40 days tapas they do, and then they go to Sabarimala. I suppose they do something like that when they go to Vaishnava Devi and all that. So all these people, they are not even wearing chappal and walking. And all sorts of things are poking their feet and everything. But they are not feeling the pain because the thought is on the Supreme. Today, I think I am Supreme. That's why he said, I will not fight. You don't fight, so what? Ishvara is not dependent on you. You are dependent on Ishvara. See, there is a fascinating lecture by Swami Vivekananda. He says, the need of the hour. The need of the hour is to serve the world, he says. The world is not in need of your service or my service, but by serving the world, we become purified. And when we purify ourselves, we reveal the divinity through us. We let the divinity reveal through us. The divinity is in each one of us, but it is covered by the desires. It needs to be purified. And when we purify through service to the world, the divinity shines through us. A beautiful lecture by Swami Vivekananda, need of the hour. So the whole thing is humility. When somebody invited Swami Vivekananda to come and give a lecture, he took permission from Sarada Devi. That time Swami Ramakrishna was not there in his body, had given up his body. So he asked her for permission. She was in the kitchen. She said, just get me a knife. And he got the knife. He was holding the pointed side to himself and giving the handle side to her. And she said, you are qualified to go. You can go and lecture now. When you will not put the other persons in danger. When you identify, that is the devotion, that is the love. You rise from your petty selfishness and look at it from the total picture. In the beginning, first chapter, you see Arjuna is all from my guru, my great grandfather, my kith and kin, how can I kill them, I would incur pap, I would, all this is I, me, mine. After killing them, how can I enjoy this kingdom? It will be all full of the blood of these people. This is how you are starting. Now he forgot everything. He's saying, Mad Anugrahaya Parama. That's the beauty. And when you have that kind of purity, then you will have this vision. If you don't have the kind of purity, you will simply see it from the head. Then you will say, Kya yaar, ye pura bakwas hai. These are all nonsense. It's just some psychological tricks that Krishna is playing on Arjuna. It is not a psychological trick that Krishna is playing on Arjuna. When you have purified your heart, when your chakras open up out of purification, then the inner divinity reveals, that inner dimension starts revealing to you. And that's what this whole chapter is all about. So that is seen here in Arjuna. So when Arjuna's attitude had changed, he was not dominating. He was allowing Krishna to enter him. This is what I was telling before. It's a different path altogether. The path of love is different from the path of lust. Through the path of lust, you can attain success. But through the path of love alone, can you attain excellence. Remember this. Success is full of stress and strain. But excellence is no stress, no strain, full of joy and celebration. And that is the beauty that Arjuna is experiencing now in this chapter. So he says, Mad Anugrahaya Paramam Bhukhya Madhyatma Sankita. So by your compassion, you have spoken to me about this knowledge, and my delusion is gone. My delusion meant not because of my effort. No true disciple will think like that. Impossible. Rain falls on both the mountain and the valley, but it gets collected in the valley. It simply wets the mountain, but it gets collected in the valley. Similarly, if you have swelled up yourself out of ego, the knowledge will not be absorbed in you. But if you have dug yourself down deep and made yourself a valley, then the knowledge gets collected. And that brings about this change, this whole thing. You will become a giver. You will put yourself as a person who puts himself in other's shoes. You will put like that. You put yourself in that condition. And that's what he says. My delusion is gone because of your anugraha. He says, no, before this, Maya is not possible to be conquered without my grace. Very, very powerful. So Arjuna understands the power of anugraha. While striving, he understands the anugraha. And then he says, it's gone. Then I would like to see you in the cosmic form. If you think, see the way in which he requests. Oh Lord, if you think it is possible for me to see your imperishable self, then show me thus, O Yogeshwara. If you think it's possible. See, a person who is qualified and a person who is not qualified, how do you know? The attitude. The person who is qualified is not bothered about the result. A person who is not qualified is always bothered about the result. How many days will it take to complete the text? How many days it will take to realize the self? Can you make it a little short? Can the course be shortened a little bit? You know, because the more focus is in me attaining, it's not me attaining, it is me dissolving. Remember this. This is a different ballgame altogether. That's why it's extremely difficult to understand these kind of concepts. Even the story of Radha Krishna, people don't understand. It's you've got to let go. It's dissolving the ego. When the I and me completely dissolve, the divinity only will be there. It will surface. You've got to dissolve yourself in the total. Not that you put in efforts and achieve it. So he says, O Lord, if you think it is possible for me to see your imperishable self, then show me that. If not, I leave it to you. Basically, accepting everything as a prasad of the Lord. This bhav, that bhav is the main thing which brings out this vision. Without that bhav, it's not possible. So, the moment he asks with that bhav, instantly Krishna gives. He says, behold, O Partha. Behold. See, this whole process is actually initiation. When the Sisha is ready, the Guru initiates. When you are initiated, you are attuned to the total. The mind that is in the beginning is running through the senses into the world. It is not even perceiving the objects of the world. You are lost in your own world. It's like, imagine you book a cruise. You go with your family for a cruise. And then everybody is simply indulging in the life within the cruise. Hardly anybody is even admiring, coming out to the deck and admiring the ocean. Simply getting involved in gambling and this and that. Very few come out and enjoy the ocean. Very, very few jump into the ocean. And once you jump into the ocean, the world that you experience is completely different. So, in the beginning, our mind is running helter-skelter. We are not even registering, enjoying this world. We are just merely existing and running around, trying to acquire, and thinking that that is living, that is not living. And suddenly you find 40 years gone, 60 years gone, 80 years gone. And then you may stop and begin to enjoy the world, but very, very few plunge in. So when you control your mind from, you know, wandering, you then begin to register the perceptions in the world. Then you start admiring the divinity in each and every aspect. The beauty that has been painted on this vast canvas called the world. When a painter comes on a white canvas, they're painting beautiful colors here and there. They put a nice painting comes. This world is like that. We don't see those beauty here. Every tree has a different shade of green. We don't see it. Keep missing it. Because we are lost in our own world. The success, now the whole discussion is Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4. That's all everybody's bothered about. Q1 and Q2, firstly Q4 of the previous financial year, Q1 is gone. Q2 also may be gone. So they are worried. Q3, Q4. Everybody is wondering about second quarter business. Lost in the world. You don't enjoy the world that you are traveling in. Where are you going to even enter inside and travel and see the divinity, the different dimensions of the mind? And Brahman, which is far beyond all that. The whole thing is even, the concept, it is too much for us to even conceive. But that's exactly what's going on here. Due to this change in Arjuna and Arjuna's request, Sri Krishna initiates Arjuna. So what happens is, when you bring your mind to focus, the mind which needs to run, mind is nothing but that which runs, thought flow. And when you start focusing, automatically it starts flowing inward. The one which is flowing now outward, start flowing inward. So that experience Sri Krishna is giving here. And Arjuna asked and Sri Krishna initiates Arjuna. And then he says, thousands of my divine forms of different kinds and of different colors and shapes. And then he sees the devas, this, you know, the whole thing is complete different language. You don't understand all that. It's a language that you understand as you start going inside. It's like somebody who's jumped into the ocean and is seeing all kind of creatures inside the ocean. We have no clue of them. We don't see them on the surface or on the land. How are we going to relate to the language that the person who sees all these creatures inside the ocean? Impossible. So that's the difference here. And then he says, you can't see all this unless I give you that divine chakshu. And the divine chakshu is the clue that he is initiating Arjuna. And once the initiation happens, see, generally when the guru initiates, the shishya needs to fan that spark. And when you continue to fan that spark, the spark becomes a conflagration. And it completely consumes all your conditionings and vasanas, and thereafter only the divinity remains. So after initiation, you still need to continue your sadhana. But the initiation here in the case of Arjuna is not that Arjuna has come to that level. It is not from his own effort. He just requested Krishna and Krishna gave him that idea. Just temporarily see that. So that there will be an inspiration for you to come to that level on your own. At the moment it is borrowed. So Arjuna is asking Sri Krishna and Sri Krishna is showing that form. And Sanjaya is reporting that. With many mouths and eyes, many marvelous visions, with many divine ornaments, with many uplifted divine weapons. All these many, many, many you will see. All these is seeing in that process, all in one. Is seen. So Arjuna is requested and Krishna showed the cosmic form. And that is from verse 1 to 12. All kinds of different experiences having. Then from 13 to 25, when he is seeing Arjuna is wonder struck. Struck with wonder, Arjuna describes the cosmic form. Struck with wonder, Arjuna describes the cosmic form. See, imagine a person, in fact, I remember that scene in that movie, Zindagi Na Milenge Dobara. These three fellows had these different things that they wanted to experience. So one of the fellows says, let's jump into the ocean. The fellows jump into the ocean after conquering their fear. And they come out and each one of them simply sit down. They don't talk to each other. You know? So that is what he's saying. One struck with wonder. See, all this is language we don't understand because we don't even see this world. Then we want somebody to pull a pigeon out of a hand and say, wow, because you are expecting miracles. There is already divinity shining through everything. You cut your nails and the nail is growing. Hair is growing. To register a site, there is millions of transactions going on. Just one site to register. And now I am talking, sitting at my place. And you are instantly hearing this through this technology. And it's happening right there. Each one is sitting in their houses. Now, the moment we become aware of all these things, it's fascinating. We start understanding that however great our contribution may be, it is nothing compared to the whole thing. Instantly you become silent. You will just shut up. That's what he's saying. Struck with wonder, Arjuna describes the cosmic form. It's something unbelievable for him. So there in the body of the god of gods, Pandava, then saw the whole world with his manifold divisions resting in one. The whole thing is description by Arjuna from 13 to 25. Anything he describes. It's like you climb a certain peak and you get a different vision. That's a different beauty altogether. Even from the shore, you go into a little deep sea, a whole thing is different. So that's the traveling, the inner traveling. As a result of the inner traveling, Arjuna is talking all that he's seeing and he is wonder stuck. And in the beginning, it is all nice things he sees. See, remember, the whole world is nothing but time, space, causation. Now, the inner spatial experience now Arjuna is having in the beginning. Then the Kala Tattva and the causation Tattva comes. When the Kala Tattva comes, Arjuna gets scared. Slowly. Because everything is constantly changing. See, I remember the interviews some of the fishermen gave to the television channels in Chennai after the tsunami. So these fishermen are not at all scared of the ocean. So, once I had a personal experience with them, I had gone with them in the boat once, long time ago. And of course, we were given the life jacket. And they jumped with nothing. And he told me, easily it will be like few hundred feet, if not meters. And he's just jumping and swimming nicely there without any fear. But the same fishermen were scared after the tsunami. When they saw that wave rise to that height, they said, my God, this devata, the ocean that we used to worship, suddenly instilled fear in them. Because they suddenly realized that they are nothing. So that's the Kala Tattva. And the causation. Ishvara governs this world with causation. Everybody gets everything according to what they sow. So all these tattvas are going to come. First, initially, is talking with reference to that, you know, all the beautiful things. So he says, I see hosts of gods. Everybody I'm seeing. And then he describes, everywhere I see, I can only see you. In you, everything is there. And the sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, all these people are there. Sattvic people are worshipping you. Rajasic and tamasic people are trembling. This trembling comes because of your fear. The child is comfortable sitting on the lap of the mother. But a person who's done something wrong, selfish, terrifies, gets terrified. So struck with wonder, Arjuna describes the cosmic form. This, with the maze, diadem, this, that, goes on describing the glory. Like a small child. He's just a small child that goes to the zoo or a Disney World. His wonder stuck. It's exactly like that he's stuck. Then he says, I consider you as the supreme, imperishable, ultimate abode, etc., etc. Initially, he thought, I will not fight. See this difference. I'll keep on reminding you. See, if you don't fight, you don't fight. Nature will bring somebody else and fight. As if you and me are needed for the nature. If nature can bring somebody like me, it can bring somebody needed for the situation. So, if I have been given the responsibility, I should do it, understanding that I am a small circle, aligning with the big circle. That is the lesson that is being taught here. And he says, you are the immutable protector of eternal dharma, the laws. Everything functions according to the laws. So, he is saying, you are the Ishvara. I am understanding it right now. I clearly see you as Ishvara. See, he is seeing all this in Krishna's body. That's what I said. When you focus, the mind which has been running away, now when it is focused, it starts flowing inward. And when it is flowing inward, he is experiencing the different dimensions of the mind. All these are different dimensions of the mind. Don't forget that. Not just the space, even the time. If you remember, we had discussed this concept in the class before when we were talking about when Sri Krishna says, I know the past, present and future, while you know not. I gave the example of ant. Ant that is calling from one end of the wall to the other. For the ant, the other end of the wall is future. But for you who is seated in the same hall, the entire wall is a present experience. For the ant, the other end of the wall is future. But for you, it is present. So as you go deeper and deeper into the mind dimension, the subtler aspects, you start seeing the future in the present. This past, present and future is all different dimensions of the mind. Please understand. Before invention of the pen was in the subtle form, in the thought form. The thought form pen became the gross pen. Any idea? Then they make the the prototype, and then the whole thing starts coming out. So it is from the subtle, the gross comes. So now when Arjuna has gone inside, he's experiencing at the subtle level. That's why he's talking everything as shining, shining, shining. So he says, heaven, earth, everything is covered by you. Completely covered by you. Heaven and earth, this interspace and all that are indeed pervaded by you alone. Having seen this marvelous and awful form of yours, the triple world trembles, O Mahasana. Marvelous and also trembles. It's the kind of respect that comes and devotion and reverence that comes once you are with the father-like figure who is both love and somebody who delivers the result according to your action. Like Shakespeare says, soft but firm. That is the divinity. Divinity is soft but firm. So therefore, the fear also comes along with the grandeur. Beauty admired, at the same time the fear comes. So he says, verily into you enter these hosts of gods. Some in fright extol you with joined palms. May it be well, thus saying, bands of great sages and siddhas praise you with beautiful hymns. So the sattvic people are praising you. Whereas rajasic fellows and tamasic fellows are all terrified. The whole world is terrified. I am also terrified. So let me know who you are. He's asking, let me know who you are. Seeing you touching the sky, shining in many colors, with mouths open, with large shining eyes, my mind is terrified and I find no courage or peace or wish. Seeing your mouths with terrible tusks and blazing like fires of time, I know not the four quarters and find no peace or mercy of God or God or abode of fruits. So this whole thing is his experience he asked for, but he had not worked for it just because he had the attitude Sri Krishna gave a glimpse of it. Since he's not earned it, he's not comfortable in it. So you can't be comfortable in a certain position when you have not earned it. Somebody has given it to you out of compassion. And when you make it your own through tapas, then you are comfortable. So you've got to own it up through your tapas. Arjuna has yet to do that. He just received it out of compassion. So he's terrified. And then the next topic starts from verse 26 to 34. The all-consuming destructive expression of the Supreme Being. This is Kala Tattva, time. Everything is coming and going in time. We have this interesting quality called apohana, forgetful. So we are enjoying. Everything is going on. There is only two categories. One is gone, other is going. We are all part of the going category. So here, Sri Krishna from 26 to 34 is showing that all-consuming destructive energy, force, the Kala Tattva. This is a very, very beautiful portion. There, he says, these sons of Dhritarashtra, with all the hosts of kings Bhishma, Drona, and Suta's son, along with our warrior chiefs, into your mouths with the terrible tusks, fearful to behold, they hurriedly entered. Some are seen sticking in the gaps between the teeth with their heads pulverized. What he is saying is, Duryodhana, all these fellows are going to die in future. But he is already seeing the future. And this is what I said. What do you mean by seeing the future in the present? Remember that example of the ant. What is future for the ant is not future for you, because you are functioning at a different dimension of the mind. Similarly, there are different dimensions of the mind, and these are all different dimensions of the mind. It is not Brahman. Isavasya Upanishad very clearly warns us, those who are attached to the world are in darkness, and those who are attached to the spiritual worlds are in blinding darkness, says the Isavasya Upanishad. See, through karma, you can go up to heaven and come back. But through upasana, you can go up to Brahmalok. Now, when you go through these experiences up to Brahmalok, the 8th chapter we studied, verse number 16, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravarti Sojana. So, Arjuna, up to the world of Brahmaloka, everybody comes back. All at the range of the mind, but I, the Brahman, is beyond the mind. So you got to travel these things, if at all, only to understand and not crave for such a travel. Because this is all at the level of the mind only. It's a very interesting lecture Swami Ramtita delivers. Spirituality and psychic powers. They got nothing to do with each other. A spiritual person may have psychic powers. But just because somebody has psychic powers doesn't mean he or she is spiritual. See, during Swami Ramakrishna Paramahansa's days, you know, the ashram of Ramakrishna mission is on the other side of the Hubli River. If you have gone to Calcutta, you would know that. So, the people used to cross the river and go to the mission. So, there was this person with power to walk on water, demonstrating that power, and people were wonder stuck, and they used to come and talk about him to Ramakrishna Paramahansa. They never used to bother about it, never used to give so much importance to it. So one day when devotee said, you must come, and took him there, they saw the person walking on the water and everybody is awestruck. And then the person came in front of Swami Ramakrishna Paramahansa and he asked, how long did it take for you to master this power, this psychic power, this capacity to walk on water? He said, it took me about 25 years. And Swami Ramakrishna said, it just takes me 25 paisa to cross the river. That's all it is worth. You give 25 paisa, the free man will cross you from this shore to the other, take you from this shore to the other. But for that kind of a thing, you had to struggle for 25 years. And this is nothing to do with Brahman. You wasted all your time. So the Isavasya Upanishad, Ramakrishna Paramahansa story, and all these things are reminding us that all this is to tell you that there are different dimensions of the mind, and beyond that is Brahman, which even the sages, the saints, nobody knows. Devas, nobody knows. You cannot know it, you can only become it. And out of Ishvara Anugraha, when you let go, he comes into you and gives you that experience. This understanding has to dawn on us. So, this chapter is for that purpose. So, he is seeing the future. Into your mouths with terrible tusks, all these fellows have entered. And all these fellows are dying. What is happening? He doesn't understand that. So, he says, as the many torrents of rivers rush towards the ocean alone, so do these heroes in the world of men enter your blazing mouths. He gives this example of rivers entering the ocean, moth entering the flame, like that, all these people are entering. What it means is, See, the disease and all that we get today in the gross form has already come in the subtle form before, according to our karma. It gets grossified now. So there is a sadhana called a pratiprasav sadhana. So when you go inside, they take you with awareness to go through your experience. Then there are certain things which is there created karma. They make you go through that at the subtle level. And at the gross level, the whole thing is cured. Like some people have some unexplained. So when they do that kind of exercise, they're taken inward and they go to the point which is triggering the fear, the karma. They make them go through that consciously, with awareness, without resistance. See, how we create karma, we need to understand. It's when we resist, we create karma. What you resist will persist. But if you go through with awareness, no problem. You're going for a walk on the road and some stray dog comes closer to you. Then it is just doing like that. Some sound is giving. And it instills fear in you. You start resisting. You start running and the dog is chasing and you somehow escape. And then you pant and it's my car. And that resistance has instilled impressions in you. Thereafter, whichever house you go, the gate, you are looking for the board. You know, there is a board where they put beware of dogs. And interesting is, whichever house they go, the dog leaves everybody and they go and follow that fellow. As you resist, the whole thing persists. So inside there is a lot of resistance. So they, through the process of pratiprasav sadhana, they make you go through the experience without resistance. Then the karma is cured. And at the gross level you find you are cured. So, all these concepts are trying to tell us that these are all different dimensions of the mind. What you sow, you reap. Duryodhana and all these fellows have already sown the seed of the destruction. So, Arjuna is made to see that by Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna sees that. Make Arjuna see that. They are already gone. They are already dead. So the moment he sees this, Arjuna is asking, make known to me who you are. Fears and form salutation to you. Straight away, namaskar. Salute. I don't know who you are. Please make known to me. Who are you? O Supreme God, have mercy. I desire to know you, the primeval, the I know not indeed your purpose. Sri Krishna says, I am that Kala. Kalosmi. I am that Kala. A terrible time. Now everybody understands the time. COVID time. So, I am the mighty world destroying time engaged here in annihilating the worlds. Even without you, all these warriors arrayed in the opposing army shall not live. Sri Krishna is declaring, what are you saying in the first chapter, man? You are saying, I will not fight. What do you mean you will not fight? You will not fight, you don't fight. Doesn't matter. But the nature will establish dharma in its own way. You don't have to worry. Compared to the nature, the totality, you are completely insignificant. And you are saying, I will not fight. They are already killed. I have killed them already. I am the Kala Tattva. From space point of view, spoke. From time and causation point of view, he is talking now. They have already sown the seed. Therefore, they are gone. He gave them a choice through Sam, Dhan, Ved. They didn't understand. They are doing too much of it. Now that they have sown the seed, they have to reap it. They are all dead and gone. And then the fascinating line is given in the next verse. 33. Now you get it. You forget about the entire verse. Just get that line. He is saying, I have already killed them, Arjuna. I have already killed them. I means the law. Ishwara is the Lord of the laws. As per what you sow, You get, you deserve, you get it. You get what you deserve, not what you desire. So all these fellows are deserving death only through their actions. So they are already delivered to death. So you simply be an instrument and get the name and fame and kingdom and everything. Be just an instrument, he says. Nimitta matram bhava savyasachi. Savyasachi means one who is ambidextrous. Arjuna, just become a nimittama. Nimittama. Nimitta matram bhava savyasachi. Remember that fascinating portion. This is what he says. Just become an instrument in the hands of totality. Already done. You just be a spoke. If you say, I will not, some other spoke, nature will bring. Big deal. So just be an instrument. Instead of saying, I will not do this, don't get into motives. You are a small circle. You have a certain swadharma. Align that swadharma with the bigger. That's it. And then you enjoy, you free flow. It's like lying on the surface of the ocean, just relaxing. The salt water will make sure you are floating. Even in the swimming pool, if you lie casually, you can float. Very little effort is needed. Just let go. The fellows who strain and then they don't float. You just let go, you float. So that's what he's saying. And nimitta. An instrument in my hands, in the hands of the totality. Everything is happening according to the law. You, if you don't deserve, you do whatever you want, you will not get. And if you deserve, others can do whatever they want, they can't avoid, they can't prevent you from getting. This is the point. The point we need to understand is that law. You get what you deserve, not what you desire. So if you don't deserve something, even you manipulate, you do this, that, do whatever you want, you will not get. And if you deserve something, and others can do whatever manipulation they want, they can't prevent you from getting it. You will get it. When you deserve something, what can prevent you from getting it is your obsession. That is the last bit of undeserving quality you have. When you let go of that, you will get it. So, Drona, Bhishma, Jayadratha and Karna as also other heroic warriors already slain by me. You kill, be not distressed. Fight, you shall conquer the enemies in battle. You have been chosen by the totality to deliver it. That's all. It's already written. The story is that story is written that you don't understand that star, somebody has written it. On your forehead. Story is written, means those fellows have written it by their own actions. See, remember this, you are punished or rewarded by your actions, not for your actions. Your own actions punish you or reward you. You are not punished or rewarded for your action by somebody else. So this is the topic from verse 26 to 34, all consuming destructive expression of the Supreme Being. And from 35 to 45, overwhelmed with fear and adoration, Arjuna surrenders to the cosmic form. And the Sharanagati comes. Absolute Sharanagati. Which is what? Complete alignment. When there is perfect alignment, what does it mean? The small I is dissolved in the big I. Now remember this, I've been saying in the beginning, bhakti is the secret of excellence. When the worker is, the work is not. When the work is, the worker is not. When the worker dies, the work is alive. When the worker is alive, the work is not. Given this example n number of times, generally a person may be a chatterbox, talking too much. Give him a podium, he becomes self-conscious. The worker is, when he fumbles, he can't talk. The work is not. When you drop your self-consciousness, you relax, then it free flows through you. So that's what he's talking about here. The whole portion. Where overwhelmed with fear and aversion, Arjuna surrenders completely to the cosmic form. Tera na mera. As per the total, I do. Don't act on my personal likes and dislikes thereafter. So he says, Rishikesha, rightly the world is delighted and rejoices in your praise. All these are your glory. What am I talking about? I will not kill, I will not kill, or I will kill. I am nothing. If the Atma is not enlivening the body, mind, intellect, body, mind, intellect is insentient. What can be done by the intellect? So, when somebody is praising you, brilliant. Understand. It is your Atma that is brilliant, that is shining through you. When somebody is praising your lecture, understand that it is your Guru who is shining through you. It's not you. The entire Guru Tattva is shining through you. You just allow them to shine through you. Just dissolve yourself, they will shine through you. So the brilliance belongs to the Guru Tattva. The brilliance belongs to the totality. So that is what he is saying here. Why not they bow to you? The whole thing is coming to that level. You know, and then slowly, slowly, salutation, salutation, salutation. It's complete surrender. It's a bhav of gratitude and humility and seeking forgiveness. All this is expressed in this portion from 35 to 45. If you see in verse number 40, I guess, he says, salutation to you before and behind. Indeed, salutation to you on all sides. Because every side is only Brahma. I can't see myself there. Once Swami Vivekananda gave a lecture on my master, the topic my master. And after talking, he says, everything that you heard, which made sense, belongs to my master, only the stupidity is mine. So, the real glory belongs to the divinity. That's the conviction the person gets and experiences it as evolves, as one evolves spiritually. And that is what is shown here in Arjuna. That remarkable change is what you see when you travel along these verses. So, he says, everywhere I see you, so I salute you, front, back, up, below, all sides. And then he says, having regarded you as a friend, I have spoken all sorts of words, O Krishna. I didn't realize the depth of you. Whatever I said, I am really sorry. This is the spirit in which we chant in the end. Kaye navacha manasindriyeva budhyatmanava prakate svabhava karomi yatya sakalam parasmai narayana yeti samarpayami. The whole thing is that samarpanam. Arpanam, samarpanam and prasadabuddhi. Once you develop this, then you are actually spiritual. Otherwise not. So he says, you are the father of this world. Everything moving and not moving is established in you. You are the one to be worshipped. Every glory actually belongs to you. Nothing is mine. Resigning everything unto God and relax. You don't relax everything to God. You don't resign everything to God and you keep it with you, you suffer. Once you resign, you rejoice. It's exactly like checking in when you go to the airport. 30 kilos or 40 kilos, whatever you're allowed to carry. And then you go there, you check in. And once you have checked in, you relax. Simply relax. You can sleep, you can watch movies, you can eat food, you do whatever you want, you can read books, but you are relaxed. You are not carrying it on your shoulder. That complete surrender. What is in the interest of the total? The total knows I am just an instrument. I got to function as an instrument in the hands of total. So, he completely surrenders. The small circle identifies with the big circle. Then, from 46 to 51, Arjuna appears upon seeing the Lord's gentle form. So, when Arjuna requested, you know, this is terrible. I can't see this anymore. Take it away. See, anything that is borrowed, you can't hold it for long. You will enjoy it for a while, but you can't hold it for long. You've got to earn it with your own efforts. So this vision was given to Arjuna by Shri Krishna. Now Arjuna has to do tapas to retain that experience. So he says, I can't take it anymore. Please take it away. And Shri Krishna takes the form back. That's this portion from 46 to 51. And he comes back to a gentle form. Arjuna is relaxed because he's come back to his level. Then the last topic, 52 to 55, the way to reach the Supreme Being, Supreme Brahman. Now, the Supreme Brahman cannot be attained. Very clearly he says, neither by the study of the Vedas, nor by yajnas, nor by gifts, nor by rituals, nor by severe austerities, can I be seen in such a form in the world of men by anyone other than you, O great hero of the Kurus. What is this? When he says all these things, when Sri Krishna is saying, why is he saying all this? What he is saying is, without bhakti, all this is useless. High amount of tapas without bhakti will not be yoga. Great effort, karma, without bhakti, it won't become karma yoga. Knowledge without bhakti, it won't become jnana yoga. Devotional practices, bhakti practices without bhakti in it will not become bhakti yoga. So therefore he says, Arjuna, it is purely because of this bhakti alone you have seen me like this. It is not possible. So your mechanical adherence to all these tapas and all these rituals per se will not get you even to the Vedas, nothing. But along with that knowledge, when you develop this devotion and bhakti, then and easily attainable. So the way to attain God is to dissolve yourself in bhakti. When the eye goes, the supreme eye reveals itself. So neither by Vedas nor by penance or gift, gift means dana, nor by sacrifice can I be seen like this as you have seen me. But by single-pointed devotion, I may be seen like this, O Arjuna, and known in reality, and entered, O Parantapa. And then, in the 55th verse, which is beautifully summarizing the whole thing, he says, he who performs actions for me, with me as supreme, is devoted to me, free from attachment, without enmity towards any being, he reaches me, O Pandava. He who performs actions for me, as an ambassador of a country, anything you will speak or do, it will be interpreted as if it is by that country. So it's total awareness and consciousness with reference to the country in whatever he or she does as an ambassador. Similarly, a spiritual initiate functions with absolute identification with a total I, the me, the self, and functions, all actions for that sake, nothing for myself. So, mat karma krit, mat paraha. This word sounds so highly egoistic. Krishna is saying, for my sake, for my sake, for my sake. For my sake means the sake of the self. So, when your actions are dedicated for that purpose, only for that purpose, bhakti, just mere action, even if it is of reading Vedas or Dhanam or Yajna, tapas will not fetch you. That doesn't mean you don't do any of this. All this you do with that devotion, with that bhakti, then you get it. This is the gist of chapter 11. So next week we will see chapter 12, Bhakti Yoga. And in that portion, there is the 35 qualities of a bhakta given. Beautiful portion. A very small chapter. It has only about 20 verses. So we'll see that next week. Let us conclude the class. Om Purnamadha Purnamidham Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Manasendriyairva Buddhyatmanava Bodhyatmanava Prakriteshvabhavat Prakriteshvabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmahi Sakalam Parasmahi Narayanayeti Samarpayami Narayanayeti Samarpayami.